in order to be effective as an under shepherd, we need to be what? We need to be close in contact with the chief shepherd, because he's the Lord of the church. He's the boss. He's the one that gives the instructions and the orders. And what we do is we obey what God tells us to do. And we want to do it effectively.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Roel Reese in Diamond Bar, California. We're continuing our series in 1 Peter, and it's great to have you along. Challenging you to serve the Lord humbly and wholeheartedly, Roel will assure you that you can do great things for the kingdom of God, even if you're not called to full-time ministry. Roel will bring us encouragement to let go of self-serving motives and develop habits of self-sacrifice, knowing that one day you'll receive an eternal crown of glory. Here's Roel Reese in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1.
One of the things in coming to this great chapter has been a blessing, because what happens here in chapter 5, verse 1, he begins with an exhortation, as we've been looking, an exhortation to leaders. And surely leaders today need to be exhorted. Why? Because there's a danger in becoming a leader in any position, whether it be secular or it be religious. It doesn't really matter. When people begin to be promoted into a place of preeminence, what happens? Pride seems to kind of sneak in to the life of that person. And we recognize, as we read the Bible in the book of Isaiah, chapter 14, Ezekiel 28, that when Satan was this beautiful cherubim of God in heaven with Michael and Gabriel, that all of a sudden, when he saw his beauty, he lifted himself up. And he thought that he could actually overthrow the throne of God. And he could cast God out of heaven. But it worked the other way around. He got cast out with one third of the angels of heaven. And ever since then, Satan has been called the robber, the stealer, and the killer. That's who he is. And I think it's really important that you understand that the more God promotes you, or wherever he places you, in your job or in your home or wherever it may be, always remember who put you there and remember who can take you down immediately. Remember that. But most important, remember to always give glory to him and honor. He's the one that deserves it all. Apart from him, we can do nothing. So Peter had a burden because he was watching so many believers persecuted by Caesar Nero. They were being tortured. They were being killed, men and women and children. And Peter knew, like I know, that one day I'm going to die. If the Lord tarries, we'll all die. And he knew that the Lord had prophesied over him. And he said, Peter, you're going to die, and you're going to die crucified upside down. You're going to suffer. So Peter was one of those guys in the church that now has a heart for the recipients. And the recipients are these leaders of the church that need to be exhorted, like today. So he starts in verse 1 of chapter 5. He says, the elders who are among you, I exhort. It's an exhortation. Who I am also a fellow elder and a witness, notice, of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. And then remember last week, I gave you a whole background on Peter, who he was. And now let me just very shortly take you to the functions of the elders in the Old Testament. They were really important. Because what happens is that, first of all, when you come to the book of Exodus, chapter 18, when Moses had been chosen by God to lead the people of God, He tried to do it all by himself without any help until finally he was almost burned out. So his father-in-law, Jethro, comes along and says, Moses, if you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to kill yourself and you're going to kill the people with you. What you need is 70 men. 70 men that you make them elders. And you appoint them to help you so that you don't have to carry the burden of the people, and they can judge the thousands and the hundreds and the fifties and the tens. And you, Moses, can take care of the major issues in the ministry, like studying and praying and leading the people. I like that. And it's really beautiful because when you think of the Old Testament elders, number one, they rule the people according to Judges 2:7. Secondly, they represented the nation. The whole nation was represented by these elders that would stand as godly men in the nation, just like our forefathers when we start building the United States of America in the Constitution of the United States of America. We made them according to what? The Word of God. And so it's really important for me to understand as a leader that these are the qualifications in the Old Testament, but what are the qualifications of the New Testament? Because when you come to the New Testament and you want to be qualified as an elder, first of all, the Bible tells us, don't lay hands on any person suddenly. Be careful. You got to get to know who people are before you put them in positions of government or in the church. And when the Apostle Paul was not only praying, asking God, when he writes actually 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus, the three epistles, he gives us the qualifications in chapter 3 of 1st Timothy, who these deacons are and who the elders are. And then in Titus chapter 1 verse 5 through 14, this is what he says. For this reason, I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking and appoint, notice, not elect, appoint elders in every city as I commanded you. Wow. Appoint elders. If a man is blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of dissipation or insubordination, for a bishop must be blameless and a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled, holding fast to the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and convict those who are in contradiction. Notice what he's saying. So when people choose pastors and they choose assistant pastors or elders or deacons, they have to be godly men. Godly women. You don't just appoint a friend because he's your friend. You can't do that. You'd be a respecter person. And so Peter wants to make sure that you understand as God's people that people in eldership positions, deacons, pastors, shepherds, have a responsibility to help the people and to serve the Lord and to do it out of God's love. Out of God's love. Never, never put anybody in a pedestal. And then God says that they are ordained by the Lord. You can go to college and get a degree and get your papers and go start a church. But you know what? It's not the degree. It's not the diploma. It's the anointing in the forehead. You know who said that? A.W. Tozer. He said, if you ever want to follow a man of God or a woman of God, look in their foreheads and see if the oil is on their foreheads. Because oil is the type of the Holy Spirit. Real important. That's the eldership of a church. Those that are filled with the Holy Spirit. Remember in Acts chapter 6, turn there for a second. Let me show you. Acts chapter 6. Check this out. This is so beautiful. There was a little problem among the widows because they were being neglected. They were not taking care of them. He starts in chapter 6, verse 1. And in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows, notice, were being neglected by daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God to serve tables." It's not that they didn't want to serve tables. God had called them to study God's word and feed the flock of God with God's word. So what did they do? Check this out. "Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you," notice from the church, "seek out from among you seven men," number one, the qualifications, "of good reputation. Two, full of the Holy Spirit. Three, wisdom." And notice, "whom we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word of God." And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, Philip, Procurius, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicolas, and a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set over the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. And then Stephen, full of faith and the power, did great wonders and signs among the people." Did you know that those that were chosen were all Greeks, not Jews? And they were not elders. They were common folk that had proved themselves, and they were servants of tables, and God empowered them with the Holy Spirit and wisdom and knowledge to go out and take care of the people. And then also to go out and do miracles and wonders. Not just because you're a pastor. No, anybody that gives themselves to the Lord, God can use your life mightily and powerfully.
This is Somebody Loves You Radio with Roel Reese. For scripture-rich resources to direct your daily life, visit us at somebodylovesyou.com. You can also email Roel your Bible questions and prayer requests. His address is pastorroel@somebodylovesyou.com. Let's continue now with more from 1 Peter.
And then the other thing is that you'll be respected. He says in 1 Timothy 5:1-19, "Do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father, younger men as a brothers. Do not receive an accusation against an elder, except it is from two or three witnesses." If there's something wrong in leadership, if somebody's going to be accused, we don't take one, we take two and three for the accusation in order to take and make discipline in the church. When there's something wrong, we take care of business. Because we don't want people in our leadership to be flaky. We want to give to them and entrust them with the gospel that has been given to them. And at the same time, we want them to be entrusted by the Lord with the anointing of the Holy Spirit so that the body of Jesus Christ can be taken care of. That's why now, notice in verse 2 and 3, Peter really, really rebukes. He says this. Notice the second exhortation now. Feeding and serving. Not for money. Verse 2. "Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly." What do you mean? Not for money or being crooked that you should be in the ministry. You know, I can't get a job, so I'll be a pastor. Or I'll be an elder or a deacon. It's really important that we take the word of God so that we can be biblical. And here he's talking to those in the position of eldership, a shepherd. A shepherd, that's a pastor of a flock. He says, which is among you, serving as overseers, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. So in the Old Testament, the duties of the Old Testament shepherd was to defend his flock, to water his flock, to give rest to his flock, to know the condition of his flock, to secure the pasture for his flock so they could eat, and to search for any sheep or lamb that was lost and bring him back to the fold. That's a true shepherd that cares. That cares for the flock of God. And then in the New Testament, it's so cool because in the New Testament, Jesus describes, he says, number one, that he is what? The good shepherd. Remember in John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep and I am known, notice, by my own. My sheep know my voice and they follow me. Jesus said that. He's also called the chief shepherd here in 1 Peter 5:4. Thirdly, he's called the great shepherd, Hebrews 13:20. Now may the God of peace, who brought you up, our Lord Jesus Christ, from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of his everlasting covenant. These are titles to Jesus Christ. He's also called the one shepherd in John 10:16. And other sheep I have which are not of my fold, them also I must bring. They will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. God is going to separate in Matthew 25 in the last day when we come back at the second coming of Christ. Remember what he's going to do? He's going to take the sheep and the goats. The sheep will go in his right hand and the goats on his left hand that are going to be thrown into the lake of fire. He's going to make a separation between sheep and goats. Jesus Christ, the great shepherd that cares for his flock. Then in Isaiah 40:11, he's called the gentle shepherd. He says, he will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs into his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. That's Jesus Christ, our personal Lord and Savior, the one that loves us and cares for each one of us. And then in Matthew 25:31, where he separates the sheep and the goats, he says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on his throne of glory, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. And then the righteous will answer him and say, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we ever see you as a stranger and take you in, or naked or clothe you? Or when did we ever see you sick or in prison and came to you? And the king will answer and say to them, as surely I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it unto me. Wow. Speaking of Israel in this context, but also of other people. When you help the poor and you help the needy, you're doing it in the name of Jesus. In the name of Christ. That's what makes us shepherds. That's what makes us assistants and deacons. It makes us, notice, elders, and it makes us the congregation of God when we do what is right before the Lord. And yet, in order to be effective as an under-shepherd, we need to be what? We need to be close in contact with the chief shepherd because he's the Lord of the church. He's the boss. He's the one that gives the instructions and the orders. And what we do is we obey what God tells us to do. And we want to do it effectively. That's why we thank God for you all the time. We pray for you. Because we don't want to just see people come to church. We want to see people that really want to get involved, that really want to do something for the kingdom of God. That you want to go to Bible school, that you want to learn the Bible, that you want to save actually, that you want to go out and share the gospel with people so they can be saved through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. To be a witness, to be a martyr, to be salt and light in a world that is so dark and so desolate today, where we need Jesus Christ more than ever before in our churches and in the world today. And that's why Peter here is speaking out and he's saying, listen, you guys, this is the way it is. Jesus said, tend my sheep, shepherd my sheep, watch over my sheep. Why? Because they're my sheep. And then check this out, verse 3. Not as being lords over them. Notice what he says. Not being lord over those entrusted to you, which means you lord over their lives. No, they're God's sheep. They're God's lambs. They're God's leaders. They're not yours. And notice what? By being examples to the flock. By being examples to the flock of God. That's what he desires. And yet there are the Jim Joneses and those in Texas that the leader man took over their lives and blinded them with the book of Revelation. And the government, the federal government came in. And what happened? The place set on fire and they killed so many people there. Shepherds that lead people astray and people follow these false shepherds. So not lording anybody. Verse 3 again. Nor being lords over those entrusted to you, but being, notice, examples of the flock of God. I like that. Being examples of the flock of God that God has entrusted to me. Verse 4, check this out, the exhortation. And when the chief shepherd appears, what's going to happen? You will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. True shepherds are going to get us. There's actually five crowns that are going to be given on the day of judgment. Number one, the crown of joy. In 1 Thessalonians 2:19, if you want to take notes. For what is our hope or joy and crown of rejoicing? He said, not you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming. And then secondly, the crown of righteousness. 2 Timothy 4:8. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord the righteous judge will give to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who love his second coming or who are looking for the second coming of Jesus Christ are going to get a crown. And then the crown of life, James 1:12, for going through trials and temptations and going through the fire. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those that love him. Isn't that neat? For those that are going into the fire, through the fire, you're going to get a crown when you come through the other side.
Well, it's good to be reminded that as followers of Jesus, our lives should not be driven by personal gain, but by a desire to serve the Lord and bring glory to his name. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. If you'd like to hear today's program in its unedited form, just call us at 800-634-9165 and ask for Raul's teaching from 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. And just include a gift of $5 or more to offset expenses. Now, to help propel you on the path of humble obedience, we'd like to offer you Raul's in-depth study of 1 Peter. This 42-part series is available on both CD and flash drive. As you think about God's faithfulness and provision in all of life's trials and temptations, you'll gain confidence to follow wherever He leads. You'll also discover the blessings that come from trusting surrender. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165 to purchase Rawls' 42-lesson 1 Peter series. We'll send you the CD collection for $63 or the thumb drive for $42. Our number again is 800-634-9165. Or you can write to us at Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. This ministry is fully listener-supported. We appreciate your generous partnership. Every tax-deductible gift supports our mission to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Next time, as we continue this series in 1 Peter, we hope you'll join us. Further considering the power of humility, we'll see how pride and self-interest are major obstacles in accomplishing great things for the Lord. Now with the closing comment, here's Raul.
How about the crown of glory? 1 Peter 5:4, that's to the pastors. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. And how about the incorruptible crown? 1 Corinthians 9:25. Check this out. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we an imperishable crown. That's why Paul said, I give myself black eyes all day long to keep my body under. So when he appears, I'll be able to receive what? The crown, incorruptible, in the kingdom of God. Man, people, we need to serve the Lord and love the Lord. Get your eyes off people, get your eyes off the world, and get your eyes on the Lord.
I am falling in love with you.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.